So hot mana.
Everything today, right?
Unbelievable. That's our question. We want to leave it open on the side.
Do you even need to cover everything, or just...
So the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph says that there's a hot Isser Hatmana both on Shabbos and an Erev Shabbos, as we've already discussed. On Shabbos, there's an Isser of Hatmana even when it's Eino Mosef Hevel. Two Girsas over here, why that is. According to our Girsa, Rashi's Girsa, that's because Gzeir Shemar Yartiach. In other words, you're going to heat it up. It's going to be cooler than you expected. As we saw, the Rush derives from this concept, this Rashi, that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, even though it's already cooked. If you hook it again, there's more Bishal. And what if you hold Ein Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach? Does that mean that you have to, well, you can't read, you have to read this Gemara like the Rambam? So we said not necessarily. First of all, the Rush over there, as the Mishnah Berurah notes in Siman Reish Nun Zayin Sifkat and Aleph, writes that even you could also say it's a chashash for havara. It's a little dochak because gzeir shem yichata is the reason given for hatmana b'erev Shabbos, but conceivably both could be here too. Even hatmana b'Shabbos could be gzeir shem yichata, or you could learn like the Ravid, as the Gra points out, as we noted in Siman Shin Yud Ches. So again, that's Rashi's girsa. In terms of Shabbos, it's aser gzeir shem yartiach. Maybe you'll do Bishol, Achar Bishol. And on Erev Shabbos, it's Aser B'davar Mosef Havel, Shema Yatman B'Remetz. What's the idea? You can't really do Chitoy on, olives. Answer is, yeah, well, this time you were Matman in olives, which somehow or another cause an increase in temperature. But next time you might use Remetz, and then you might do Chitoy, and that would be an Isser. The Rif has the opposite girsa, namely that on Shabbos it's aser b'davar ma'amid haval gzeira shem yatmin b'remetz, and on Erev Shabbos it's aser mosif havel gzeira shem yartiach. What does gzeira shem yartiach mean? So the Rambam over there explains the pshat is that there's a chashash that it's going to be too hot. Oh my goodness. So you'll have to remove it from the flame, or remove the covering, and then later on you'll cover it up again, and then you'll be doing Hatmana b'Shabbos. So then the Gemara says, okay, so why is it mutter b'nish mashos? So again, according to Rashi, that means, why is it mutter to do ma'amid hevel b'nish mashos? But according to the Rambam's Girsa, at least that's what it would seem, the Ravid tries to wiggle out of it, but according to Rambam's Girsa, it would be, why is it mutter to be matmin b'davar hamosif havel bein ashmashos? And the Gemara says, tank deros bein ashmashos kvar raschu v'nachu mi ba'abuan, and therefore, they're not going to be roschen. The chashash of gzeir shem yartiach isn't relevant over here. So according to Rambam and the Rif, there's a very interesting kula, which is, even though you can't be matmin b'davar hamosif havel on Erev Shabbos, and certainly not on Shabbos, but bein ashmashos, there is your window. Okay. Now, according to, I guess, either opinion, at least some of the time, there's a concern of gzeir shem yichata, right? We'll stick primarily with Rashi Shita, that's the more accepted view. So, gzeir shem yichata is the reason why I can't do hatman b'davar hamosif havel on Erev Shabbos. And now the kasha is this gzeir shem yichata basically the same gzeir shem yichata as we find for shehiya? We know that's the reason why you can't do shehiya also. Or is it different? For example, we have kulas in terms of shehiya. We say that if, let's say, we pass in like Hananiah, so if it's ma'achal ben drusay on Erev Shabbos, so then you can leave it, even eno garf eno katum, because there's no gzeir shem yichata, you're not going to do chito, it's already edible. So does that kula apply to hatmana? Or likewise, let's say we know there's another kula. This works even for Hananiah of Keter Chaisa. So in the case of Keter Chaisa, we're not concerning Gzeir Shem Yichata. So what about for hatmana? Does hatmana B'davar Mosef Havel work if it's a Keter Chaisa? That is a debate in the Rishonim. Tosfos says no. These types of kulas that we have for Shia don't apply for Hatmana. Why? the hatmana concern is greater. And therefore, it's aser, even if it's machab ben rusai, it's aser if it's kder chaisa. Why? Because for hatmana, even a little bit of chitui goes a long way, because it's so efficient and so protected from loss of heat, and also because hatmana generally are going to be doing for tomorrow, so you think it's going to work a little bit, where shahi is usually done for the night, and therefore it's not going to work. Basically, certain, you know, metzius differences, I mean, it's a halachic difference, but it's rooted in the metzius, the difference between hatmana and shahiyah. Good. So that's the machmir view of Taisvis. We already saw, though, that Rashi seems, not clear, but seems to disagree. Rashi holds, that seems to say, that the reason why, for example, the kula that we have for Shehiyah by Garfa Katam is because that's considered Hatmana B'Devar Shehenu Moses Hevel. Rashi seems to merge the two sugyas. So according to Rashi, seemingly, what's mutter for Shehiyah is mutter for Hatmana, because it's basically the same issue. And the Rashbam says this explicitly. The Rashbam quoted by Tosfos says, for example, that if something was cooked before Shabbos, let's say for Hananiah, even Kemacho ben Drusai or Chai, then you could do Hatmana. Now Tosfos disagrees with Rashbam, as we mentioned, but that is the view of Rashbam. Rashbam is seemingly following in the footsteps of Zaydeh. And it's not just Rashbam and Rashi that hold that way. There's a number of Rishonim who adopt this view. The Rimi Orleans, the Rid, the Rivivan, Shibuli Aleket, the Ravya, and others. So do we paskin like this? So the Mechaber and some sciences, no, absolutely not. It's aser to be matman, even if it's Mefusha Kol Tzarko, even if it's Metamik Viralo. The kulas for Shia don't carry over to Hatmana. However, the Raman of science says, well, you know, even though Mikra Adin, we do follow the Mechaber, we do follow the opinion of Tosfos, most Rishonim. However, there is this Yesh Omrim that, let's say, if it's Keder Chaisa, it's going to be Mutter, or Mufushal Gold Sarko, it's going to be Mutter, like Bashia. And in a place where the Minig is to be Mekel, so we don't yell at the people who are Mekel. You should follow this in other places. But if that's the minig, then in those places at least, we don't have to object to the people that do this. So that's in Sif Zayin. If you look at Sif Aleph, he also says something along these lines, but he says it a little differently. In Sif Aleph, he's talking about if you're matmin for the next day, and he quotes the Mardechai Neshiboli Aleket, who seem to be of the same view, the Mekilim view, and the Ramah here writes in Sif Aleph, uvidyeved yesh lismoch al zeh, uvilvad shaloya rogil asos kein. So it's a much weaker acceptance. He doesn't say, oh, you know, in a place where that's the minhag. He says, no, it's mutter b'di'eved occasionally. Meaning, say, if they're rogil to do this, it's aser b'di'eved. So why is he so machmir over here? So if you look at the Vilna Gaon, he says, that's because this view is totally rejected. Now, I don't understand. What about in Siv Zion? Didn't he say not that way? So the answer is that Siv Aleph is actually much worse than later on, because it's Tartil Rei. So what do we mean to say? First of all, you're not just... This isn't a pure Keder Chaisa. If it's a pure Keder Chaisa, then fine. Then the Rashbam and Udi'ime would be Matir. But here, it's not like it was raw at the beginning of Shabbos. You're just doing it for tomorrow. Now, we did see, when we saw learned the sugya of Keder Chaisa, yeah, there are some Rishonim, maybe. It's a question if anybody said this, but we'll assume that there are a handful of Rishonim who are Mekel, that anything that's for the next day, even if it's already... 20% cooked at the beginning of Shabbos, since it's for the next day, it is included in the kula of Keder Chaisa. We don't really accept that view. So in Sif Aleph, the Ramah says, well, let's say you're relying on that view for Hatmana. In other words, it's 20% cooked at the beginning of Shabbos for the next day, and you do Hatmana. So, Hatmana b'mosav, obviously. So over here, we, we probably don't even accept the view that if it's a true keder chaisa, that's mutter. And here, this isn't even a true keder chaisa, except according to some who say that anything that's for tomorrow is by definition keder chaisa. So memelatz tarti l'reyasa. This is like the Gra says. This is a real sheet of the chuya. This is very, very problematic perspective, and therefore, it's only mutter b'di'eved if you're not ragil b'kach. Okay. Now this is a very interesting idea. A very interesting idea. This relates to a discussion I had with Yoshua earlier today, which is, you know, when we have this concept of, let's say, being mekel b'di'eved, and relying on a opinion that we usually don't accept. So how far will we go? Will that apply to shita d'chuya? Yeshua and I were clearing about a shayla of, you know, being somech on Rabbeinu Tam Shita. So we here in YU at the very least see Rabbeinu Tam Shita as a shita d'chuya. Let's say something was going to have reached Machal Ben Yudit Shehiya. It's only going to reach Machal Ben Husay by Rabbeinu Tam Shkia. So would you be Saimech on Rabbeinu Tam B'di'eved? Right? So we see, as I said, we here in YU, we have Rabbeinu Tam Shita Shir D'chuya. Would we be Matir B'di'eved because of that? So interestingly, again, this Gras sort of sounds like that we will b'di'eved, at the very least, shelo yeh ragil b'kach, we will be somech on a shita d'chuya. Now, we should add then that this Ramah is, you know, we talked about earlier, towards the beginning of the Bishul Shiurim, the opinion of the Primogadim, Magen Avram, Mishneh Berurah, that, you know, b'di'eved will be somech on a lenient opinion. In other words, even though there's a certain thing that we wouldn't allow l'chatchila, if b'di'eved was done, we won't say the food's aser. We're somech on a lenient opinion because it's a din d'rabbanan. So here we see the Ramah doing this, and in a pretty extreme way. Now, remember that the Ramah, sorry, that Prima Gadim over there was based off of the principle of safek d'rabbanan l'kula. Now, I have a question for you. If the principle is based on Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula, so then it should even be Mutter L'Chatchila, right? Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula, good. It's Machlokas HaPoskim, and a Shaila of Hatmana, a Shaila of Shehiya, certainly Dinu D'Rabbanan, so we say, oh, but Yevet, if you did it already, since the whole Kanas is D'Rabbanan, we're Mekel, Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula. Why don't I say L'Chatchila, it's Mutter, Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula? So the answer is, we have to, and this is a broader discussion, which we'll talk a little bit about now, not maybe another time more broadly. But we have to distinguish between two principles that sound very similar to each other, but not the same. One is that b'drabanan were holy chachar ha-meikil, and that's a din l'chatchila. And then there's another principle of safek drabanan l'hakel, which is usually a din b'di'eved. What do I mean to say? B'drabanan holich achar ha-meikil. There's a gemara of Odezara that says, you know, what do you do if you don't know how to paskin? You don't know who's the halacha. There's a machlokas. Two chachamim argue. You don't know. You can't bring a raya. You can't figure out who's right. So the Gemara gives you certain rules. It's a machlokas, Rambam and Rashba. How we apply those rules? Do we say number one, you follow gadol b'chachma v'minyan, and then if they're shavin, so then we say derabbanan lahakel deraisa lahachmir. Or do you always say Drabbanan Lahakel, the Raisa Lahachmir? Machlokas Rabbi Mashba, it's Machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach. The Shach thinks you have to follow the Chumras of both. But let's, however you say over there, the Gemara concludes that in a certain case, let's say, if it's Shavin B'chachmo V'minyan, so then B'drabbanan you could be Mekel. B'drabbanan Halachachar HaMekel, right? That's L'chatchila, B'drabbanan Halachachar HaMekel. You could be Mekel L'chatchila. That's not what we're talking about over here. Over here, because then you could be Mekel L'chatchila. Over here we're talking about a case where, no, we are Machriya L'Hachmir. Let's say because the Rov is Machmir, right? In the Shaila. Rov, Rishonim, hold like Tosfos, that you can't do Hatmana, B'davar, B'kder Chaisa. Most Rishonim Paskin that way. We're going to follow Rov. We're going to be Machmir. So we don't say something to Rabban Lakula because we have a principle of following Rov. But we might still say Safik Drabbanan Lahako. Safik Drabban Lahako. That's a B'dieved Dikadin. Safik Drabban Lahako. We don't, again, bigger topic. But we don't say that L'chatchila, you could be machnis yourself to a Safik. Ah, it's a Safik Drabbanan, could be Mekel. No. We might say B'drabbanan Halachachar Mekel. That's the rule in Masechet Avodah Zarah. But that's not relevant to here. That's relevant when it's equal. Right? Let's say they're shavin b'chachmo v'minyan, and it's a drabbanon shaila, then we'll say b'drabbanon hachar mikol. Here it's not shavin, rov or machmir, we don't accept Rashbam. But b'dievet, if you did it already, so then we're mikol. Then we could apply the principle of sector drabbanon hachar. Now, if that's the operating principle, so that's point one. Rav Yashiv, maybe we'll get back to this.
We're taking for granted that that's true even if it's a Shita Techuya.
Well, that's what we're going to get to next, but okay. That's the basic rule. Rav Yashiv is quoted by the Dirsh, was saying that we only say this principle by Knas. In other words, he further limits it. He doesn't say any Dirabanan, B'dievet is Mutter, but only a Knas Dirabanan. We'll see a little bit later if that's a so Pashut. But that's the basic principle. Now, So when are we makel? When do we apply this principle b'di'avet that we're going to be makel? So if take a look at Reish Nun Dalet Sif Gimel, it says like this: Im Avar O Shachach V'Nitzel B'Shabes B'Iser Aser. And the Magen Avraham Sif Katan Yud Aleph says Davka K'Shenachal Eish Megula Al K'Shenasin L'Socha Taner Mechusa Afil Basar Eish Shari B'di'avet Me'Achar D'Yesh Matirin L'Chatchila. The Ayin Masher Kasav Sof Simin Reish Nun Dalid Sifkatan Lamed Zayin Dehu Adin L'chol Kiyal Tzibza. So, I don't want to, if we have a chance to do Reish Nun Dalid, I would like to talk about this, but for now we're going to ignore the details of this case. But what's he saying? He's saying basically that since there are those that are Meikel L'chatchila, now there's those who pass on like Ravashi and Yudches Mabes, so therefore, we could be somech aleihem b'di'eved. And he writes, chen kol kiyotzi b'zeh. In other words, any time there are those that are mekel l'chatchila, we could be mekel b'di'eved, chen kol kiyotzi b'zeh. If you look at the Eshel Avram, on that Magen Avram, he writes, v'di'eved k'd'ein, probably k'dayin hanach rabav salismoch aleihu, dugma mashamru brachos, k'dayihu rabbi shimon lismoch alav shasat chak, the Kalalahu. Oh, in other words, this principle that we're talking about, namely that b'di'eved we're meko, right? What is this principle? B'di'eved meaning to say, if there's someone who's meko l'chatchila, we're meko b'di'eved. Prima Gadim says this is like the principle in the Gemara in Brachos. Kedai Rabbi Shimon l'smoch alav v'shasat chak. What is that principle? So that's an interesting idea. The idea over there is that, again, even though usually we follow the Rabbanan, let's say, against Rav Shimon, but Shasat Chak, or B'dieved, so we'll follow Rabbi Shimon's view. We'll follow Rabbi Shimon's view. And so too, over here. Now, Agav, that Prima Gadim doesn't sound like Rav Yashiv, because that's not just said by Knas, right? Anyway, so that's the Mahalich over here. The Mahalich over here, that we're Mekel B'dieved, is because equivalent to the principle in Shas of Kedaihu X, Kedaihu the Das Yachid, Alismoch Alav, B'Shas Adchak, or B'diavid. Now, does that principle apply to Ashita Tchuya? Chor not, right? Chor not. We don't say, you know, that B'Shas Adchak you could follow B'Shamai, or even Rebbe Lazar Tosa says the Shemutehu, or the like. In other words, there's a limit. Just because there's someone that's Meikel, it has to be, even though it's a minority opinion, it can't be a Shita Dechuya. And that's also the impression you get from the Machzis HaShekel over there in Simen Reish Nun Dalet, He actually even says you're not somech b'diavad on the Rambam that's matir l'chatchila baser gedi v'taner pasuach. It's mashma this way from the Prima Gadim, who applies the principle to, who says it's based off of Kedai Rav Shimon. L'smachalav won't apply this principle when it's a shita t'chuya. We'll only apply this principle b'diavad of being matir when it's a minority opinion, though it's not a shita t'chuya. And the Gra, on the other hand, by us, Simon Reish and Zion, sounds like maybe we'll even apply this principle b'diavad if it is a shita d'chuya, at least occasionally, as long as it's not b'kviya. So I'm not sure. It seems to me, perhaps, it's a little bit of a machlokas over here, how far we're willing to go with this principle. But bottom line, l'maisa, the Prima Gadim concludes about this principle. We call makom hamorat tzarch la'ayin b'zeh miyei macholkim, and practically, he says, you have to ask the Mori Hara. You have to sort of, you know, some cases, I guess, the poskim will apply the kvios, that it's mutter b'diavad. In other cases, you know, again, in the case that we were talking about with Yeshua this morning, so, you know, on the one hand, we had this very shver rabbeinu tam to be somechan. On the other hand, that was a very, it was a shail of kavod abrios, not embarrassing somebody that did something. So each case has to be looked at very carefully to determine under what circumstances we could be makel b'diavad. But I think the basic principles, like we said, that it's not l'chatchila we're makel only in certain cases, we when they're shavim, b'chachma minyan, then we could say d'rabbanan shomin l'divrei ha-makel. But in a case where we've normally paskind, and yes, there are some Rishonim or Tanayim who are matir l'chatchila, but we paskind against them, we paskind, let's say, for the majority, based off the majority position, l'hachmer, then b'diavad, you could be sonach on that opinion. It seems to be a little bit of a debate among the Achronim how far you take that rule, who will we be willing to rely on, and perhaps from this Ramah, as explained by the Gra, you see a very, very liberal view on that perspective. Now, so far, we said one nafkamina between the machlokas, one type of nafkamina between the machlokas between, we'll say, Rashbam and Tosfos, right? Rashbam said that Hatman is treated like Shehiyah, so therefore, it's going to be mutter, kedera chaisa, or machal ben drusay l'chananya. Tosa says it's not, so it'll be aser. And there we follow the machmir view. There's another nafkamina, and that's actually the question of how you deal with a bedieved case. Namely, what happens if you did hatmana be'iser? Now, not like we were just discussing, you did hatmana, you know, being somech on b'diavad on Mekilim, but hatmana bevadei b'iser, right? Mamish, for sure it was hatmana b'iser, right? It was, like we said, 20% cooked at the beginning of Shabbos, and you did hatmana b'davar mosav hevel for something you're going to eat that night, right? Last man depalig, this is going to be hatmana b'iser, right? No shita, that's matir. So what do we say b'diavad in a case like that? So, this actually seems to be a machlokas rishonim. According to the Ramban and the Ran, we have an interesting principle, which is that if it got improved through the Hatmana, then it's going to be Aser B'diavad. But if basically the Hatmana kept it as it was, then it's going to be Mutter. Now, even though you're benefiting from the Hatmana, because without the Hatmana, it would be cold, right?
It's kind of like they're being Yon almost.
Maybe. So even though you're benefiting from the Hatmana, but the Hatmana didn't improve, it just kept, so then it's mutter, b'diavad. The Hagos Mordechai says, if you're matmin b'iser b'mezid, it is aser, but b'shogeg it's mutter. In other words, again, basically the Ramban and the Ran say, usually Hatmana b'iser is Aser B'di'evet. We continue. And the Mordechai, how goes Mordechai, is only Mekel if it's, is only Machmif Tmezit, B'shogeg it's Mutter. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the view of the Ramban, the Ran, Yesh, and the Ramah quotes Yesh Omrim, that's Mekel. Yesh Omrim, Shim Shachach Vitmim B'shogeg, Shailacho. Like the second view of the Rishonim, like the goes Mordechai. Right? The Ramah says, B'di'evet, it's Mutter. So what's pshat in the Ramah's Kula, or that goes Mordechai, right? What's pshat? Where's the source of this idea that b'di'eved b'shogeg hatmana b'isser is mutter? Says the Gra. Oh! Because just like by Shehiyah. Just like by Shehiyah. In other words, we know, let's say you did Shehiyah b'isser, and it was Mevushal Kol Tarko. Right? What's the din? The Mechaber was Mekel. Right, Rav Mechaber said, and Mechaber doesn't pass on like Chananya. So you're not allowed to do Shia if it's Mefushal Kol Tzarko, it's not Mefushal Kol Tzarko. But B'di'evet, if you did, what's it in? Mutter B'di'evet, right? So the Kula of the Ramah is to treat Hatmana like Shehiyah. Oh, in other words, the Machlokas here between Mechaber and the Ramah is another application of the same machlokas between the Rashbam and Taisus, according to the Gra.
But he's a lot more willing to be Mekel for this, apparently.
Well, we have other tsirufim. I mean, it's b'di'evet. It's also b'di'evet. But there might be other tsirufim, because anyway, somebody mati ol chachila. But fundamentally, this debate. There's fundamentally of machlokas shonim. What's the din if you did hatmana? B'di'evet. Right? B'iser b'di'evet. Do we apply the leniencies of Shehiyah? Or not? Says the Ramah that b'di'evet, yes. Says Mechaber, no. What says Machlokas? Say Machlokas. Meaning to say, b'di'evet, at least the Ramah follows the school of thought that we're going to apply the kulas of Shia to Atmana. And the Mechaber says, no, we don't. We don't do that. Right? Again, so therefore, just let's say even just a little more Medea, right? By Shehiyah, we said, if you did Shehiyah be'isser, and it's already mevushal, so then it's mutter b'di'evet, right? What about if you did hachzara be'isser? What's the din? Then it's aser, right? It's aser. So, if you wish to look at it a little differently, right? You know, the machlokas here between Nechama and the Ramah is, do we treat hatmana be'isser like Shehiyah, or hatmana be'isser like hachzara? And the Ramah is saying, b'di'evet, at least we'll treat it like Shia. That's by definition b'di'evet, right? And that is another reflection of this same idea. And that's why, if it's mevushal kol tzarko, we're going to be mekel b'di'evet. That's because of that, you know, interesting chalak of the Rif and the Rambam, and the Rif got it really from the Gemara, that we're mekel by Shehiyah b'di'evet mevushal kol tzarko, right? That was because the Gemara had that Shaila. Remember,
the second
Gemara, Shahamai, and Rif says, what are we talking about? We already said it's Aser. And the Gemara says, no, Shah is a B'di'evet. And we say over there, the Chiluk, where if it's a Vush called Tzarko, it's Mutter B'di'evet. And since the Rif says, it's a Baidul of Shita, it's a Savi Nagmar, Savi to Rabbani, you can be able. But, okay, fine. That's a little Chazar. Good. Fine. Now I want to ask a different question. Yeah. New question. Here's what I want to ask. I see you guys are in the middle of Chazar. Good. We talked before about the kula of tach betit, right? For those who remember, there is this concept of tach betit in the Gemara. Now, if you learn, like the Rambam actually is totally irrelevant for us, it's a very limited kula that relates to the fact that certain types of meats, if the wind blows into it, it's going to wreck the meat. And therefore, if you're tach betit, we're not afraid that you're going to open it up because it's going to wreck the meat, then fine. That's actually the way the Mechaber paskin. So tach betit, you know, Adam, you can stop listening. But for everybody else, we might throw it in. But the Ramah follows the Rashi school of thought over there in Akamar, that basically tach betit, you plaster it over your oven, there's no chashchitoy, right? And therefore, even though other things that were normally going to be asr because of ha-shehiya are going to be mutter if it's tachbetit, right? That's what the Ramah paskins. So we mentioned Rabbi Willig thought this might help in a warming drawer. Okay, Donnie didn't like that, but let's talk about whether that's a helpful thing for hatmana. And this is a very relevant question for crackpots, for example. In a couple of minutes, we'll talk about the big machlokes supposed about crackpots. But let's assume for a moment that your choshesh that crackpots do present a hatmana question, the view of a number of contemporary gedolim. So now you have a good etzah, right? You'll just do tachbetit. Rabbi Willig said he's machmir by crackpots, okay? But he's also makel by, you know, 3 or 4 pieces of tape. So especially this is relevant if you always leave the setting on your crackpot the same, then it's real easy. Some people like to put it up high at first and then lower it. Like, I think we always have the setting on the crackpot the same. So what I'll do, I'll take 4 pieces of tape and tape over the knob, different directions tapes. I won't be able to pull it off all at once. And then I like mamish. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about aluminum foil balls and marbles and all the other things that all the bach likes in the bat hatzmana. This is a great solution. Good. So is it true? So first, I thought, oh, this is the greatest solution. I was so excited. I had this Einfeld. And then I thought, you know, there's no way this is mutter. Why? And that's why I said, like, why didn't anyone make this suggestion? Everybody's like, all these cockamamie things about the marbles and putting all your toys into the challenge just to talk patent, so much easier. So then I thought, no, it doesn't make sense. Why? Let me ask you a question. What's the whole idea of talk patent that, you know, for sure you're going to wake up before you do chitoy, right? You know, a person without thinking might quickly do chitoy, but by the time I take off this tape and that tape and this tape and that tape, I'm going to wake up. Oh, it's Shabbos Kodesh, right? We're not talking about Mechalei Shabbos. We're talking about Frilei Yidden. So that's the basis of the kul of Tachbetit. In other words, it'll solve you from doing Shehiyah. I mean, chitoy, right? So let's talk about Hatmana for a moment. So I go ahead, Mamish, Hatmana, whatever most of Havel, I put my food into a pile of manure. Or I don't know, olive mush, olive pulp. Good, olive pulp. So, can I do chitoy on olive pulp? No, right? Doesn't work. So why is it even aser? Alts chitoy. Oh, the Gemara says, well, exer shem yatmim remes. Next week, this week I put it in olive pulp, and I say, wow, this food was so piping hot and delicious. Next week I'm going to put it in remes, and then I'm going to do chitoy. So I thought, well, doesn't help than to do tachbetit. Tachbetit helps when my concern is right now I'm going to do chitoy.
Well, by crackpot, isn't that the concern?
I'm just saying. Our question is, does tachbetit work for hatmana? And the answer is, if the concern for hatmana was I'm going to immediately, right now, do chitoy, then it would make sense that tachbetit should work, just like by shehiya. But if the concern for hatmana, the reason why they asked hatmana is not because right now I'm going to do chitoy. Next week I'm going to do chitoy. So then, tachbetit doesn't help me. Right? So it's true, doing this chap with the tapes will make sure that this week I don't raise the power on the crackpot. But that's not enough to be matir, hatmana, b'mos of havel. So if you think the crackpot's hatmana, b'mos of havel, tachbetit shouldn't help.
And what's the Gemara mean when it says k'zeh shem yechate?
It means next week when you do remets. Next week, I'm not going to put on the tape, and I will do. It's not this week. This week it's already in. It's in the olive pulp, right? Right now, my pot is buried in olive pulp.
But don't I only need that if I'm being mapped in the dover, which isn't like a cult? If I'm being mapped in the cult,
I understand. But so, but it should be no worse. Just like when I bury an olive pulp, I'm worried about next week. So too. When I do tachbetit, I should worry about next week. You're saying, okay, I have to be worried about this week and next week. Fine. So the tachbetit solved the problem of this week. But next week it doesn't solve the problem. So that's why I thought it should be aser. But shuv ra'isi, that the Mishnah Brura quotes that the Oras Arua is mekel. But he says, but they're cholkin alav. Who? The Marshal. But in the Shaar Tzion, this is, by the way, in the Shaar Tzion is Sif Katan Mem Vav. Or maybe the Mishabur is Mefim Mem Vav, I don't remember which one. So the Marshal is Machmir. But the truth is, also the Chazanish, by the way, is Machmir. But it's the Shaar Tzion. Shaar Tzion, I think, is Mem Zayin, the Mishabur is Mem Vav. Shaar Tzion says, but yeah, you know, there are a lot of Achronim or Mekel, the Al Yerabba, Reb Kiv Eger, the Alter Rebbe. And the Mishnah Berurah's Hachra is like, sounds like Lahakel, it's better to be Machmir, but really it sounds like he's Mekel.
I mean, doesn't he say like if they had seen Ur Zeru, then they would have
right.
been
Mekel? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm saying he's Nota Lahakel. So Lachaira, this is a great Eitzah for the Mishnah Berurah, especially because, and even though the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, it's better to be Machmir, but maybe I'll say that, look, really, many poskim are matir the crackpot, right? Many great poskim are matir the crackpot. So, I would rather be machmir, but to be somech on the Or Zeruah and the Alter Rebbe and the Reb Kiv Eger and the Pashtus of the Mishnah Berurah. So I'll do both. I'll do the crackpot and I'll hatsad that the machmir are right by the crack, but at least I have tachbitit. I'm still not sure what to do with my kasha in that view. I thought the Marshal's opinion made more sense. Maybe along the lines of what Yoni said, and especially if this is something that you do every week, right? You always leave, like I said, someone who always leaves their crackpot settings the same time, same thing. So you put on a bunch of pieces of tape. So there's no worry about next week, because next week is also going to be, you're never going to do it, right? So, as a practical matter, again, we'll talk about the crackpot child in just a couple of minutes, but as a practical eitzah, this might be a very good eitzah for people that already have a crackpot. If you don't have a crackpot, maybe you'll get the West Bend type, the type that's flat on the bottom. So avoid the shilas. But if you don't, you already have a crackpot. You don't want to buy a new crackpot? Slow cooker. So this might be a very good eitzah. Ray Willig agreed. Agreed that this would be a good eitzah for those who want to be machmir. Fine. So let's talk about hatmana nowadays. So hatmana nowadays, b'davar she'eino mosif havel is obviously very relevant nowadays. Doesn't happen too much except at my grandparents' house, but you could certainly have a situation where you want to take a pot, I don't know, off the blech and cover it in towels or blankets or the like, wrap it around, so that's obviously going to be aser. Do we have any hatmana b'davar hamosif? Well, let me take your question first.
I think that shaila should be talking on the machlokas in the beginning of Kira and the Ran about tanur, why can't you do grufa in a tanur?
Right.
So lechora, it's the same shaila, whether you can. It's according. If the issue is that maybe I'll be, I think the Ran quotes the Rashi says I'll do yichata in a different oven.
Mm-hmm.
So then lechora, Yoni's answer makes sense according to the Rashi, but according to the Ran and the Rambam, so then lechora, that's not sure.
Aha, so you're saying that's what the Rashi was maybe something like.
Right, but then like lehalacha, I probably don't. I don't know.
Right. I hear. I don't know. I was just saying that here it's much worse. In other words, my intuition, lulei the Or Zeruah, would have been that this is much worse. In other words, even whatever you say about Shia, even if you say the Rashi Rashi here, it should be worse here, because here the Gemara explicitly sounds like it's a concern for next time.
But that's what the Rashi says it should by Tanner also. The Gemara says you're not going to do Groof on the Tanner, even though it means
right, even though it's impossible. Right. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, good. So that's something to think about. So you're saying that's a reason maybe to be machmir. Okay, I hear. Good. Fine. So are there any hatmanas bedavar mosif hamel nowadays? So one possibility is muchin. As we mentioned, the Mishnah Memzan Mabeis is muchin, like cloth, begadim beluim, are considered mosif havel, right? And I told you my grandparents used to do hachmana with a begadim bluim. So is that a problem? So l'chora it's not, because the Gemara says over there that's only if it's lachim. However, the Rambam Tesmid Aleph says, yeah, that's only if it's lachim. But there's a discussion whether lachim is true is more machmir if it's lach and machmas atmo, which obviously is a very unlikely situation. I don't know, it's from the sweaty part of the sheep. Okay, we don't have that anymore. Fine. But, or no, even if it's lach from external stuff. So the Rif and Rashi and the Pirsha Mishnayos are makel on that shayla, all lach and his mutter. But the Beis Yosef understood the Rambam and the Aruch HaZak was machmir, he's choser, he's machmir. That's the way it seems to paskin in Tzif Gimel and Shulchan Aruch. So I guess conceivably, you could have a situation, let's say they wanted to wrap up in a blanket, in a begadim bluim, and it got a little wet, something spilled on it. So maybe, according to Shulchan Aruch, that would be also, it would be Moshe Hevel. You can't even do it in Erev Shabbos, right? They wanted to, like I told you, they used to wrap up their chicken soup in begadim bluim. And then when they're trying to rack up the chicken soup in begadim bluim, some chicken soup spilled on it. So now the begadim bluim are wet. So maybe it should be also. I don't know. The Maaseh, the Mishmar quotes that they're mekilim on this, even though the Mechaber is machmir. So, okay. So that's conceivably one case that could come up nowadays. So then I was thinking, well, what about, could you wrap in an electric blanket? So, electric blankets, you have to be careful. A lot of them are Asar and Shabbos because they respond to your body temperature. But let's assume you have the old-fashioned type. So, electric blankets are very actually good things for staying warm at night to save money on heating bills, which is that they're blankets that the blanket themselves are heated. So you don't have to keep your house so hot, and you stay very warm because the blanket itself is heated. So l'chora, that's a classical hatman b'davar Moshe Hevel. So it would be a great chap if it was motor, but l'chora it should be aser, right? Everybody's looking for ways to keep their things hot. So electric blanket's a great chap. But, then I thought maybe we could be make it like this. I'll tell you why. In the end, I think it's wrong, but it's an interesting shayla, which is like this. There's the Ramah quotes Taisus in Bava Basra, Yud Tesamid Aleph, that says that there are those that are makel to be matmin b'siloim, with rocks, even though they're most heavy. I think Taisus is probably talking about flint. So you have this certain type of rock that's most of hevel. It's mutter. Why? So what does that mean? So maybe that means that anything, there were only things that are asr fratmana are the things that Chachamim said are asr batmana, right? The things that are listed, the olives and this and that. So they didn't mention slime, so it's mutter, even though it's most havel. It's most havel. No, they weren't gozer on that. So if so, maybe I'll say same thing for the electric blanket. They weren't gozer on that, right? It's true, it's most havel. But in the days of the Mishnah didn't mention electric blankets. So just like flint, even though it's most havel.
They didn't have
But they were good. So first of all, not everybody agrees with that opinion in Tosfos. The Rach over there, quoted by Tosfos, is Machmir, says, no, if it's most of Hevel Lamais, it's Aser. But Lamais of the Ramah over here is Mekel. But if you look at that Tosfos over there, it sounds like it would still be Aser, because it sounds like the reason why they're Mekel by Slayim is because they damaged the pots. And like Aaron was saying, it's because they could have been Gozer and they weren't, because they damaged the pots. But something that isn't damaging to the pots, like the electric blanket, even though it wasn't around then, they still included in the broad gzeira of Bosef Hevel. Okay, so you can't do an electric pot. So is there anything else that's also to do on Erev Shabbos? So the classical case that everybody wants to know about is, could you cover with blankets on the hot plates? Somebody told me that in their yeshiva, they had like a plata, and they would put all the food for Friday night on the plata, the yeshiva, and then they would put like blankets on top of it. In other words, that's a very efficient way to stay hot, right? Because there's a lot of food. It was like three layers, so they would take it out of the oven right before Shabbos, put it onto the plata. Even though it's like three layers of food, they would put the blankets on, and the hot plate would keep like food for 100 people warm, even though it's only one or two hot plates. It's a great chap. The problem is, isn't that Hatzmana B'davar Moshe Hevel? So the truth is that this is actually seemingly a machlokas rishonim, how to read a gemara. The gemara in Mem Zayin Beis talks about the case of kupa shetaman ba aser lanich al gabe zesim. Which sounds like you have the olives, but you're just putting the olives on the bottom. The olives are most of hevel, but then you're matmin the kupa, let's say, with a blanket. And the Gemara says it's aser. But if you look over there at Tosfos, it's memchas of olives dimaschal dazesim. He has a different understanding of that. He thinks that's because the begadim themselves aren't most of hevel. But according to Rabbi Yonah and the Rashba over there, it would be aser. In other words, the begadim are considered mosif hevel because in conjunction with the, in this case, the olives on the bottom, but in our case, the plot on the bottom, there's a tosefes hevel, right? It's possible that the blankets on their own, of course, are not mosif hevel, they're maimed hevel, but the blankets in conjunction with the plata is mosif hevel because the plata adds heat and the blankets plus plata therefore add heat. So according to Rabbi Yonah and Rashba, this type of atmana would be aser. So that would be paskin. So the Shulchan Aruch in Reish and Zayin Sefches paskin Zahachmir like Rabbi Yonah and Rashba. Therefore, l'chayre it's going to be aser. Another application of this is those urn warmers that I told you about last week. They do exist. They do exist. They even say Kavod Shabbos on the front. They do that because it's aser. So I figured if you write Kavod Shabbos on that. Ah, Michal Shabbos blankets. Okay, I didn't know that. Good. Now we'll see. So L'chora, those things are all aser. However, there might be a kula for Ashkenazim. And Aaron's going to say, and Ravadi even for Sephardim. He's right. Ravadi here has some like really wild kulas. But anyway, so there might be a heter for Ashkenazim to do this. Right? I assume this is what this yeshiva relied on, which is Megula Miktsaso. Ah, so how does Megula Miktsaso help? So this also is, of course, the basis. It's a debate in the Rishonim on the Gemara. Rabbi Hananel on Daf Lam is Adam and Aleph sounds like Hatmana B'Miktsas is Hatmana. Rabbi Tam, though, quoted in the Sefer Yashar, quoted by the Mishnah Bura, Shartin, I guess, says, no, this is a lesson in the Sefer Yashar. Hatmana mashmash mechusa barubo okulo. The very word Hatmana implies enveloped, surrounded entirely or mostly? So it sounds like, at the very least, if it's mostly uncovered, or maybe even the mechza, 50-50 covered, 50 uncovered, it's going to be mutter. So going back to these blankets on top of the plata, so as long as half the pot is uncovered, even if half the pot is covered with a blanket on the top, and a plot on the bottom, but it's half uncovered on the sides, so that's going to be
the
fine.
Food in the middle will be a problem, though? Meaning you have a bunch of dishes, right? And so only the one.
Yeah, you'd have to, so, but you could possibly do that. But you're right, you'd have to, especially if you're going to say that it's only mutter, it's also if it's rove covered, so you'd have to be careful and make sure, presumably, that each and every dish is not rove covered. Now, the Ramah, as we said, follows the lenient view, and he seems to even be a little more makel than Rabbeinu Tam. Ramah writes, this is in Sif Aleph, Yesh Omrim, Dafilu Mekadero Medis Al Gabi Eish Mamish, Kozman Shi Megula Lemala. Lo mikri hatmana v'shari v'cheina minog. All you need is megula lemala. He doesn't say rov megula or machtziso megula. Megula lemala is enough. So again, pashup shat is that svardim have to be machmir nishayla, and therefore, certainly, even if it only partially covered, let's say you left food on the plata on Erev Shabbos, to partially cover it with those towels is going to be a problem. According to Rama Ashkenazim, room for leniency. We should note, by the way, that the Chazon Ish is machmir on the Shaili's Choshish for the Mechaber's view. Now, how much practically do you need to uncover for Ashkenazim for the Rama's view? So as we said, Sefer Yashar seems to be pretty machmir. Shlomo Zalman, the Ramah sounds a little bit mako. Shlomo Zalman, quoted by the Orchel Shabbos, says that as long as a significant part is uncovered, even though it's only a miut, then it's going to be okay. So, for example, if you go ahead and, you drape the towel over the pot, but one of the sides is exposed, that's something significant, that's going to be okay. And that's why, practically speaking, for Ashkenazim, this is a decent eitzah. A decent date. So that's the way Rishon Zalman says it. Rish Moshe, in the those short shuvos, it's Hatmana Os Dalad, writes that the uncovered part has to be where the food is. In other words, by the Makam Megula. Let's say the only part I leave exposed, the food goes halfway up the pot, right? And the part that I leave exposed is the top half of the pot. So that's a problem. Now, it's interesting, because the Ramah sounds like all you need is to have the cover uncovered, and usually there's a food going up mamish to the tippy top, unless he means that, well, the cover, the top is different. That's also exposed to the food. In other words, the food is keneged the top. So therefore, if you didn't cover up the top, or you did cover up the top, but the sides are exposed, and the side that's exposed includes parts that are exposed that are keneged ha'ochel, then it's going to be mutter for Ashkenazim. But what about Sephardim? So Sephardim have actually a different issue, which we already brought up last week from Rishon and Gimel. Not only are the Sephardim machmir when it's megula miktsasa the mechaber, but even it seems like if it's only exposed to the heat on the bottom, It's hatmana, right? And Machaber sounds like he's machmer, really, any time. So I would think, if you're asking me, not just me, other great, ask Sephardi Poskim, Yaskil Avdi, Mordechai Eliyahu, they all say, even leaving something without, forget the towels, you can't leave something on the plata. Can't leave something on the plata. Why? Because it's on the bottom. If Mordechai Eliyahu even developed a plata for Sephardim, where there was a bigger than usual gap between the heating element and the cover, so that way it's going to be okay. Or you could use you could put some other type of interruption, so you're not putting it flat on the plata. However, Rav Avadia, see Rabbi Omer Chelak Vav Simin Lamed Gimel is Mekel. And first, let's talk about Megal, just plain plata, right? And he has a number of tzirufim. Number one is he thinks anyway there's a little bit of a hefsek between the coils and the cover. I once took apart my plata. So it's a very small hefsek, but it is a little bit of a hefsek. We'll see later also this comes up. Rav Avadia holds at this kula by the chalin pots, by the crock pots also. Rav Avadia thinks there's a kula, we'll see, if hefsek avir. Right, the Rishonim already make that kula. But the Rishonim's case of a hefsek avir sounds like it's a more substantial hefsek avir. Like, for example, they talk about a situation where, let's say, you have a pot, and then you put a big cover on the pot that's bigger than the pot, like a board or something on top, and then you drape the blanket across that. So that's a big hefsek avir, right? What about a 1 millimeter hefsek avir? So many posts can say, that's not a hefsek avir. But yeah, at least tzad, has it tzad to be makel, that even any, what's atmana, mamish, like you dig it in, like the remets, like the olive pulp, there's no avir at all, zero. You have a little bit of a hefsek avir, it's only a millimeter. No. A millimeter is a millimeter. It's a hefsek. That's one tzad to be makel. So, therefore, over here, since, what's the most of havel? The coils, right? The coils that are underneath the metal tray in your plata. And there's a gap. How big of a gap? I don't know. 1 millimeter, let's say. Even not with Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's contraption. The regular platas is still a 1 millimeter gap. So 1 millimeter is enough. Fine. Number two, he says that anyway, you can't change the settings on the plata. Israeli platas at the very least. So therefore, it should also be much. Now, it's very similar to the heter of Tachbatit, right? Since the whole kula over here is Gzeir Shem Yatmin, Be'eshem Yichate, so it should be okay. And then also he says maybe another tzad l'hakel, which is that maybe the reason for Mechaber's Chumrah is because next time you won't just do it right flat on the bottom, you'll do it a little more, right? So, but that's not possible. You can't like take your plata and start like wrapping it around your pot, right? Next, can't do it. I mean, maybe a He-Man can, but the normal people, right? It's flat, it's permanent, it's metal. It's not going to change. You're not going to do it, dig it in any deeper. Therefore, he's Mekel. The Chazon Ish, as we said also, even though he also follows the Machaber's view, and this is also Mekel, because along similar lines to that last thing, it's not Derech HaTamana if it's something that's totally flat and can't be, you couldn't possibly do HaTamana in it.
Where,
same place as the last one was. So what else? Now, the Tshuvas Or LeTzion has an even bigger kula, right? So far, what have we matired for the Sfaradim? We've matired a plata without a blanket. But a plata with a blanket, that's not even pashut to be mekel for the Ashkenazim. Pashut, the Sfaradim will be mekel. No. Says Rav Ben Tzion Abashul, it's mutter, it's base yud zayin yud. That Sfaradim could be mekel if you do it on Erev Shabbos. Why? We'll throw in Tosis's view. Remember, we just thought Tosis that we said we don't pass on like Tosis, that we don't combine the, again, we pass on like Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba that says that the blankets combine with the thing on the bottom, right? Tosis said a different Havana, that Gemara is Mako. So even though we don't accept that view, we'll throw it in over here.
Don't accept that. I mean, no one accepts
nobody
that.
Even the Ramad didn't, nobody accepted it. The Chaber is Machmer and Achayla. But here, when there's another factor, now the only time the Chabbos is going to be Machmir that you on Erev Shabbos is when it's something that could theoretically be Matmin more than just on the bottom. But something that could theoretically be Matmin more than on the bottom, the Mosif Hevel component, then it's Mutter even when you add the blankets on top. And they're partially exposed. In other words, you have the Ramaz Kula. Okay, fine. Now, I just want to go back. I guess I should have mentioned it before. How far within Ashkenazim, how far are Ashkenazim going to be mekel in terms of partially exposed? How far? So the truth is that there's steers in the Chai Adam and steers in the Mishnah Berurah about this. Some places the Chai Adam sounds like it's only going to be mutter if it's exposed on all sides. Sorry, if it's exposed halfway. But more than halfway, it's going to be usser. Other places, he sounds like, no, the only time it's usser is if it's entirely covered. And there's also steers in the Mishnah Berurah. Compare Mishnah Berurah, Reish Nun Gimel Sif Katan Samech Tes, versus Reish Nun Zayin Sif Katan Mem Gimel. In Reish Nun Zayin, it sounds like it's only Mutter Ad Chetzi. If you look in the article in the back of the Orach HaShabbos, that's where I noticed the Stira. I didn't pick it up by myself. He quotes the Stira, and he has a tilpul to be Miyashim the Stira in Shem. So it's not so pashut even to be Mekel for Ashkenazim, but as I said, the Olam is Mekel. Even though, again, not so pashut. I mean, Otam himself sounds like he's Machmir and Nishayla if it's more than half covered. The Olam is Mekel. And again, I think the view that you could accept is the view of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, what about the Orach HaShabbos, that as long as a significant portion of the food is not covered, it's going to be mutter. So practically speaking, what that means is, again, if you think this is relevant for those urn covers. The urn covers, if you leave a portion of the thing uncovered, which you could do for some of them. You might have to like rip it open a little bit, or putting a towel on top of your chalent or something like that. As long as a significant portion, even if it's not rov, then there's room for leniency. But again, it's not pashut. It's not pashut because, as we said, even within the Mishnah Berurah and the Chayadim, there's steers. Fine. Good. So now let's turn to our feature presentation, which is crockpots. Huh. There's features, but don't think it's the last. I'm not sure how we're going to get to the end. Anyway, crockpots. Crockpots, you know, for like everybody was Mekel. Nobody had heard of any machmirim until, you know, Shlomo Zalman's last psak. That's true for everybody outside of YU. Who was the first one to discover that Prabhupada's are aser? Rabbi Willig, 1982. In 1982, Rabbi Willig was giving shiurim to some of the older guys in Hilchos Shabbos, and he said, L'chaira, crockpots are a problem. Crockpots are a problem because crockpots, again, I'm sure you assume you all know the Metzias. There's what we'll call the crock and the pot. That's not the official word, but for our purposes. You put the pot in the crock. Now, the crock doesn't just heat up on the bottom, then it wouldn't be such a big deal, but the walls of the crock also have heating elements in them. So here you have a real shaila of hatmana b'davar mosif havel, not pashut. And it's true, the top is exposed, but rove is covered, possibly rove, by davar mosif havel, and it's a tight fit. I mean, it's not like zero avir, but it's, you know, the goal of these are to be efficient cookers, so there's not like a big airspace for the heat to escape. Sorry, Willig, 1982, thought it should be aser. Says, tell me this. I said, what should we do? He said, well, I'm just one person. Everybody in the whole world is Mekel. So then, 12 years later, in 1994, the last psak of Shlomo Zalman said, it seems like crockpot should be aser also. Now, it's not even clear whether this was his psak. He said it seemed like it should be aser, and he told Rav Neuwirth to investigate the matter, and Rav Neuwirth did, and he went to prepare a presentation. But by that time, Shlomo Zalman died in 97. But anyway, by that time, he was already not well. He wasn't really able to rule. If you look at the new Shmir Shavsky Chassid, it tells the story a little bit. Not entirely clear. But Hashtas is Shlomo Zalman thought crackpots were a problem. That's world upheaval. Right?
1995.
Yeah, 95. A world up. He died in 95? 95, okay, right. So I said last psak was in 94, and he couldn't. He was already very sick, and after when Rav Neuwirth in 95 was ready to present the information. So he was Machmir also. So now it's not just Rabbi Willig anymore. Not to say that he could put a just by Rabbi Willig, but. So this is an issue. So what are the Mekilim being Soymechon? There are Mekilim. Moshe was Pashtos Mekel. It's quoted in the short Shuvos, even though it's not so obvious why according to Shita it should be Mutter. But others are Mekel. Shevet HaLevi went back and forth. You look at, there's a Tshuva from the Shevet HaLevi in the back of the Archo Shabbos. That's really one of the best essays on this topic is found in the back of Chelek Aleph of Archo Shabbos. He asked the Shilas to a number of poskim. Take a look there. Anyway, he asked the Shilas to Shmuel Arbach. So one possibility is to say, okay, but Lamaisa the Ramah says it's much if the top's open, and the top's open. We said, if you hold like the source of the Ramah's Rabbeinu Tam, certainly it's not so pashut to be Mekel in that case, because it's certainly Rove. Rove is covered. So one Eitza that you could do to solve this problem for the Machmirim, and this Eitza, Rav Yashiv is okay with, but not Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman are both Machmir, but there's a little difference between their views, as you could see, again, expressed in the back of the Orch Shabbos. We don't have time to get into the nuanced details, but Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv is Mekel if you raise it a little bit. You put marbles or balls of aluminum foil. If you use balls of aluminum foil, they have to be a little bit big, because otherwise the weight of the crockpot smushes them down, and the bottoms of the crockpot also sometimes have little, like, the pots themselves have, like, parts that protrude so it's not flat. So if you just put the small aluminum balls, it won't actually raise it, because it'll just go up into the indention. But you could see. So you could use marbles, you could use aluminum foil balls, the way You could use a upside down aluminum pan supported by aluminum balls to raise it up a little bit. Now, why does this help? So for Rav Elyashiv it helps because he says, look, now it's not mutman on the bottom because it's raised up from the bottom. There's airspace. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't like that because since Lamaise it's still right above the heat source. But Rav Elyashiv thought, so you got it on the bottom, you got the top, plus the, you have the bottom, you have the top, and plus it's a little bit protruding now off the out of the top anyway because you raised it up a half a centimeter or so, half an inch.
It's still roof, just...
Well, it depends. If you count the bottom, you don't have roof. Because you have the whole bottom is
on the bottom
top
is...
plus the bottom plus the side, like the half an inch on the side, then you don't have roof anymore. I'll also add that I don't think the coils go all the way up the sides. I'm not sure. I didn't take apart a crock pot. But my raya is because if you look at where crock pots burn, so they burn only like an inch or two up the side. So I assume, even though let's say it's full, I assume the pshat is because the heating elements are only up to that amount. So then for sure.
But it would still be us according to like...
Shlomo Zalman still doesn't like it. Shlomo Zalman still doesn't like it, but because he doesn't think that the raising from the bottom helps. But at least Rav Elyashiv, Rav Willig thought this was okay also. Rav Willig added an additional factor, which is he said, there you might have, you have a real avir even from the side. Why? Because the walls of the crock pots, at least most, are tapered. Check yours. In other words, they're not straight up. They're like this. So once you raise it up, let's say a centimeter, so now there's going to be a air gap all the way up. Because when they go all the way down to the bottom, so then it fits in nice and snug, right? But once you raise it up a little bit, so you don't, according to Shlomo Zalman, you don't have the bottom, but according to Elyashiv, you have the bottom. You certainly have the top, and you might even have the sides. Now, if you use a aluminum foil blech to make a blech, so then you might undo what you that might solve the problem for shahia or hachzara, but it might make things worse when it comes to hatmana. But it might not. You know, depending on how you do it. But that you have to keep that in mind. Anyway, so again, that is for many poskim is going to be good enough to solve the problem, even among the machmirim. Again, some are makel across the boards. Some, even among many of the machmirim, the aluminum foil balls will help, especially if, again, assuming that it's significant. Significant doesn't have to be a lot. I don't even mean like 2 inches. A half an inch will really be okay. Again, if you just like take a little bit ball of aluminum foil, in my experience, it doesn't do anything. You just smush right down and doesn't accomplish anything at all. It doesn't really raise it. Or marbles or something like that. But, you know, I would say if you're buying a new crock pot, then you may as well get the kind... that are flat on the bottom. They're among West Bend makes a type where it's a slow cooker that doesn't line it, but it's just sort of like a hot plate. It's just the heating element is basically just on the bottom. That's obviously going to be the best solution. Now they have even a frum version that's mutter. That A, it's not on the sides. B, they have like a built-in blech. C, they have like a blech for the top to put. I don't know if you need all those things, but anyway.
Was it blech?
No. I mean a prefab. Like you don't have to make it yourself. Uh-huh. You can. It's a fit.
Sounds
okay.
Like a moneymaker.
Moneymaker. So it's made in China. So I don't know if you'll be able to get it out anymore. But okay, fine. There are some more things that we want to talk about. So I'm not gonna. Focus. Let's move on from. Okay, so the next kula is hefsek avir. We already alluded to that. It's based off Taisus Mel Chesmad Aleph Dimasal De Zaysim. Over there in those days, they had this great chap. They would make like a pit, and put the pot into the pit, even though there'd be heating underneath it, because there would be a a hefsek avir, right? And Tosfos says this is mutter. Why? The lo dami lamad medaver most of havel, even though it is most of havel. To lo asru ela kishematmin umadbik saviv hakdei redumi dremetz. So again, we saw over here a poskim that Ravadia thinks any amount of airspace will be good. Many poskim say no; it has to be like mamish akolta, who isn't enough. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a ton. The hefsek avir is going to be matir. So another etza that you saw in the Beis Yosef is you could like put on a wide pot cover or like a board and then drape down your towels. It also is going to be okay. And again, Ravadi says that even works to matir crock pots. Now, a very common question that people want to know about is putting things into chalent, like a kishka or a potato kugel or the like. Right? Let's say, so you can't do it on Shabbos, but let's say even Erev Shabbos I want to do this. I go ahead and I want to have a potato kugel in my chalent. But if I put my potato kugel into my chalent, it's going to turn into chalent, turn into mush. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take my potato kugel, I'll wrap it in aluminum foil, and I'll put it into my chalent. It'll sit, sunk into the chalent. Now, maybe this is hatamanu b'davar mosav hevel. Why? Because you've enveloped your potato kugel with things that are going to be mosav hevel in it, and it's mamish enveloped, right? It's submerged in your chalent. So, that's a shayla. Now, if you don't use the aluminum foil, that's fine. That's for sure okay. That's just part of the chalent, right? Just like nobody would say, like, the potato in the chalent is mutfan in the chalent. But here, you have two separate things. One is matman, the other. Two separate foods. Oh. So, the mechaber in Reish Nun Gimel Beis, quoting to the Ran, says, Mekal makom lasim kli ala tav shil kedei l'shamro min achbarim. O kedei shil yistanef b'afluris shari. Shein ze kematman l'hachim. So now, maybe we'll say over here that even though I wrap my chalent in aluminum foil, but why do I do that? Because I don't want the chalent to get dirty, sorry, the kugel get dirtied by the chalent. I don't want them to merge. I want them to be two separate dishes. In other words, I'm not doing it for the purposes of hatmana. I'm doing it for the purposes of keeping the potato kugel clean. So therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arban Melcha Shlomo Chelik Beis Simen Lamedayin Os Simen Lamedalot Ozayin says this should be mutter based off of those grounds. And he quotes Rav Moshe Chelik Dalet Simen Ein Dalet Os Gimel, who says it's usher to wrap something in aluminum foil and put it into the pot. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I don't understand. Ma'ishna Mekadera Gabi Kadera Vavshishu Ose Rak She Munach Atuf B'Toch Hakadera Aval Gam Ze Lo Mistaber Sherei Osin Kain Kidei shelo yis arev imshar tavshilim velo lishmachom. Now the Shlomo Zalman says, what's the whole idea of that kula? The whole idea of the kula is hatmana is somewhat dependent on your intention. If my goal is to be mosef hevel, so to preserve the heat, so then it's aser. If my goal is to keep it clean, then it's mutter. Here the goal of the aluminum foil is to keep it clean. Should be much. He says, I don't understand what Rav Moshe is talking about. In the Sheilos Tshuvos V'Dibarta Bam, which is a Talmud of Rav David Feinstein, who like asked Rav David a lot of questions, so he has a whole lot of ichos on this. Anyway, he says that Rav David said that Rav Moshe would be Mekel Moda if, in fact, it's just there, Lishmar Metina for the like. Now, there's basically, to a large degree, he thought that Rav Moshe was Moda to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Anyway, if you look at the English book, of Simcha Bunim Cohen's book on the Shabbos kitchen, he is machmir for a different reason. Based off of the Mishnah Berurah, Reish Nun Ches, Sifkan Beis, which is based off of the Taz over there, Sifkan Aleph. The Taz says it's aser to put a kli, uvetocho mashka tsonein, and litchov oso b'shabbos l'kli mal imayim chamen. That's derech hatmana. In other words, you're using water to be matmin the food, even though it's in a kli. That should be exactly like the potato kugel in the aluminum foil. Now, the Chazon Ish, though, objects to that. The Chazon Ish is Lamed Zayin, Lamed Beis. He says, it's a Mefurish Gemara not like you. Because the Gemara says, right, Amem Lamed Beis, that by the Abati, says, Tol B'Klisheni V'Tol. In other words, you want to warm something up, you put the water or the oil, let's say, into another kli, and you put the kli into the hot water in a kli sheni, and that's okay. Why isn't it hatmana? It's mamish. It's a tazis is also. It's unfortunate gemara is mutter. So what are you talking about? Now, only the Chazon Ish is bothered this lishitaso, because according to Fyodik the Ramah, that's fine. Why? Because it's all exposed on top, right? When you put one thing into another thing, it's going to like float usually, and the top will be exposed. But remember, the Chazon Ish held like the Mechaber, so he held just being exposed on top doesn't help. So then, how could the Gemara be matir totally klisheni? So it must be, says the Chazon Ish, I'll tell you, you have a very important klal, which is there's no such thing as hatmana ba'ochel. Hatmana is beremetz, is olive pulp. There's no such thing as hatmana be ochel. He says, I'll prove it to you from another place, because Tarnagolta de Rabbi Abba. Remember what they do? Had they warm it up, they would put it into a kli rishon, pashup shat, right? Ain't bishalach bishol. Why is that mutter? It's hatmana. Nah. There's no such thing as hatmana in food. So according to Chazon Ish, then the kugel and the challenge is for sure okay. So b'kitzer, the kugel and the challenge should be mutter for one of two reasons. One reason is Rishon Zalman's kula, that this is basically equivalent to shmira mitino. If it's not, the purpose of hatmana isn't for the heat, the purpose of hatmana is for the to keep it as a separate entity and keep it clean, as it were. And then with Chazon Ish, you could question Chazon Ish if you think you hold like the Ramah. Maybe Rav Moshe doesn't hold it that Rosh Hashanah, not clear. The Shivat Alevi says, therefore, you should be machmir and put little holes into your aluminum foil. So that that way it's like not totally, the kugel is sort of still in the chalent. I will tell you that we used to do that, and it makes chalent taste, the kugel tastes very good. It gets like some chalent taste in it, but not sure you have to be machmir. Rosh Hashanah, like we said you don't even need that. Now,
those remind me of Shabbos.
So another, by the way, application of this is heating up a bottle. Let's say you want to heat up a bottle in a kli sheni, right? We talked about this before. So we talked about this in the context of Bishul. But why isn't it a problem with Hatmana? So according to Chazon Ish, Pashut, why it's mutter, right? According to Chazon Ish, of course, Shlomo Zalman not so positive, because Shlomo Zalman's kula, the basis of his kula was that the real most of hevel is coming from the heating element on the bottom. It wasn't coming from the chalent. So here, it's from the hot water, right? So maybe it would be aser. So according to Shlomo Zalman, you should make sure it's not entirely enveloped. But lemaisa, it always won't be entirely enveloped usually, because of the air, it floats up, and the like. So usually, it's going to be okay anyway.
Isn't there any way not
on the sheet? Next topic. Gevaldik. So this is the famous Shaila of the thermos. Good. So says Eitan that it's a mefurish gemara tzmata, right? The gemara nunav l'nala says pina mechem lechem. So we say, oh, that's okay. No problem with hatmana. Why not? This, by the way, is very relevant. I'll give you an interesting example of this. So back when we used to live in the Heights, we used to eat in a sukkah.
Wow, that was such a long time.
In the YU sukkah, right? Great. So it's like 3 blocks away from the house. So what we would want to do is bring the chicken soup with us originally. You know, we go with our soup, our kiddush, our challah, our soup. And then we would be able to stay for the first course. And then we go back to the apartment to get the next course, right? But the problem is, of course, now, that, you know, how do you keep the soup hot? Now, we wouldn't want to bring the pot into the sukkah, because kayadua, the Gemara says, you know, I'll bring your pots into the sukkah. So what would we do? We would put the soup into a soup tureen. And then you would bring the soup tureen into the sukkah. Gevaldik. But the problem is, it gets cold. So we want to do what my grandparents did. Take the soup tureen and wrap it in blankets. So mamish, that's pina mimechem lemechem. It's mamish should be mutter. That's what you would think. That's what. Now, the problem is, why is it mutter? So if you look at Rashi says the reason why it's mutter is because ke'akura kameker kamechave, ke'akure kameker kamechave. In which case, maybe The only reason why we're makel for pinim mechem lechem is like this. It's like, you did the act of cooling, right? When I take something from a kli rishon and put it into a kli sheni, I'm mechaven to cool it down. It's too hot, right? Sometimes you like make a cup of tea, it's too hot, you don't want to wait for it to cool, so you like pour it into another cup. Ah, now it's nice and drinkable. Right? That's what the Gemara is matir. Now over here, it's certainly not so. Certainly not true. But certainly, let's say in the case of the thermos, it's not true, right? The thermos, mamish, used to be an art, so a lot of people use thermoses for Shabbos because they wouldn't have the urns. Now everybody has an urn. But I see nowadays feinschmeckers like need hot coffee and shul. So they bring thermoses of coffee, sometimes schnapps. That's just for Shachter's Chavusa. So they bring thermoses of stuff. So here's the problem. We're out of time. So officially we're done. If you're interested in a 5-minute shiur on Wednesday about thermoses, you could come. But otherwise, Chazara started the next Monday. Rose's Bechina is Thursday.
When Rabbi says 5-minute shiur, like, what's the approximate actual shiur?